Glory to God. Hello and welcome, glory to God, for He is good and His will, His might is so good, so powerful that He upholds us and upholds you. And my name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. Pastor Pan loves you, and Jesus loves you even more. Glory to God. Amen. So, today we're touching on the Word of God, which is so good, which is authoritative, which is the Word that upholds us, the Word that is the truth that sets us free from the darkness, the Word that is the promise of God, because Jesus is the Word. And so welcome, everyone. I'm acknowledging some of you guys who are here right now. So praise the Lord, and thank you for joining Team Jesus by subscribing, following, liking. It really helps the channel. And so glory to God. And so today's topic is the power of the godly. And in the previous passage, we saw two kings who failed radically. One cried out to God during times of trouble and crisis, but he did not repent and fully turn to God. Instead, they still went on their own sinful ways, which was doing things that was not according to God's will and God's plan. They did not worship the one true God. Instead, they worshiped false gods. And then now, we're going to be touching on Elisha, who actually is a prophet of God, who loved God with all his heart, and who served God, and was able to lead the country of Israel towards him. But yet the kings were still rebellious against God. And so 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 25, we're going to read the passage, then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to be able to give a summary of what this passage is talking about so you can understand it. And then we're going to go into reflection on what this passage is talking about, which is able to grow you, build you up, and allow you to experience the power of God in your life and to build your life upon His firm foundation. And then afterwards, we'll go deep dive into this passage about the characters of Elisha and the other people who are here, and then even more thoughts and some Bible verses to support the whole thing. Afterwards, we have application questions, which you get to hear my story, and you get to tell me of your part too. And then we'll be able to pray for each other, bless each other. And so listen to the very end, because this is going to be life-changing, and this is going to be able to help you so much. And so welcome, everyone, and I'm so glad that y'all are here, able to hear the Word of God, and to be here for the first year, and also to be here for the longest. Amen. So the power of the godly. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha, he was suffering from the illness, which he soon died. And then Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father,' he cried, 'the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' Elisha said, 'Get some bow and some arrows.' And he did so. 'Take the bow in your hand.' And he said to the king of Israel, when he had taken it, Elisha put his hand on the king's hand, 'Open the east window.' And he said, and he opened it, 'And shoot,' Elisha said, and he shot. And the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, over Syria, Elisha declared, 'You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And the king took them. And Elisha told him, 'Strike the ground.' And he struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, 'You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you shall defeat it only three times.' And so Elisha, he died and was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once some Israelites were burying a man. Suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. And when the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood on his feet. And Hazael, king of Aram, opposed Israel throughout the reign of Jehoahaz, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant, his promise, his deal with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. Hazael, king of Aram, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, succeeded him as king. Then Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns which he had taken in battle from his father, Jehoahaz, and three times Jehoash defeated him, and so he recovered the Israelite towns. Wow, we can see a whole lot of things are going on in this passage, and we can see how God is still in control over it all. And even though we see that there was a disappointment from Elisha when he said to strike that arrow on the ground, he only struck it three times. And so the man of God, Elisha, was angry. He said, "You should have struck it five or six times. Then you would have destroyed Aram or Syria completely instead of just destroying him three times." Because when you obey God, he's able to come through for you and destroy your enemies, destroy those who are the trials and temptations in your life, and bring you victory. That is our God, a God who brings victory, a God who is victorious, and a God that we depend on. And so in this passage, there was a prophecy that Elisha given to the king Joash, and during his death, or before his death, and about 50 years has passed since the last event of Elisha's ministry was mentioned in chapter 9. And throughout his long life, Elisha had seen corruption and wickedness eat away progressively at the fiber of the northern kingdom. And now he laid on his deathbed, and the nation was deteriorated into a torrid cesspool of sin and false worship. And although he faithfully proclaimed the word of God, warning the people and the nation, his message, for the most part, has fallen upon deaf ears. Nevertheless, until that last day of his life, he continued to bear strong witness for the Lord. As the scripture closes out of his life, it is his strong witness that was emphasized, and that the power of God was still going on even after he died, which was when he was buried, or he was thrown into and buried. This dead man was also thrown into that tomb and then touched Elisha and came back to life. Can you believe it? That is just extreme, and it is beyond our mind, because God, well, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So he can bring the dead to life. And so the prophecy of Elisha and his death was a strong character of iron of determination. And so this emotional visit of King Jehoash at Elisha's deathbed acknowledged Elisha as king's Israel defense against all enemies. And this is a symbolic picture of Israel's victory over Syria at Aphek. And Elisha instructed the king to take a bow and some arrows in his hand. And Elisha placed his hand on the king's hands, and he told him to open the east window and to shoot. And Elisha shouted that the arrow symbolizes the Lord's victory over Syria, and Israel would defeat Syrians at the Battle of Aphek, which was a big battle. And this is a symbolic picture of Israel's continual victory over Syria, almost like God's victory over sin, continual sin, victory over the sin, and then, or the enemy. Yeah, that's even better. Over the enemy. And Elisha, he instructed the king to continue shooting. The king shot three times and stopped. Then Elisha rebuked the king, and he said, "You should have shot all the arrows, so that you therefore would completely destroy Syria." And so he would now defeat Syria only three times. The death of Elisha then was mentioned, and the miraculous power of God to raise the dead is a symbol of Elisha's body. And some Israelites were burying a man when a band of Moabite raiders suddenly attacked. The dead body was quickly thrown into Elisha's tomb. Then the dead man, his body, immediately came back to life when it touched Elisha's bones. Then this oppression of Israel continued by Syria during Jehoahaz's reign and God's discipline. And God nevertheless demonstrated compassion because of his covenant, his promise with his forefathers of Israel, like David, King Solomon. And so God was not willing to completely destroy or banish Israel from his presence. Instead, he was willing to continue walking with them, talking with them, and allowing them to have second, third, fourth, fifth, 10 chances and plus chances. And so the prophecy of Elisha was fulfilled in verse 24. And the king of Israel of Syria died. And 25 cities earlier conquered by Syria was recaptured by King Jehoashin. Three battles, just as Elisha had predicted. And so we can see how in this passage, God was still in control. And Elisha, the prophet of God, was still a representative of the one true God, who prophesied that there was going to be victory over the Syrian army. There was going to be victory over the enemies who were oppressing them, who were able to take away gold and silver from the temple, who are able to lessen and make Israel even smaller and to destroy them. But Elisha, when you go to the man of God, when you go to God and honor the man of God, then you will see victory in your life. And you see, Jesus, he is the ultimate victor. He's the God who never fails, and God who never loses. No, our God never fails. He's a winner. He defeated sin on that cross. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. He overcame the world when he raised from the dead. And then, now, because of his resurrection power over sin and death, when he ascended to heaven, he also gave you salvation, the hope in life that you have of eternal life. Because we all sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But God, he gave you eternal life. In Christ, Jesus, our Savior. Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not have eternal separation from him, but have everlasting life in his presence, in his glory, in his love and care. Everlasting life in heaven. And all you got to do is confess Jesus as your Lord, your Savior. Confess Jesus, that he is your king, and commit to him, and then acknowledge and believe that God has raised him from the dead and defeated sin and death. And when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then God can add to you. God can work with you. God can have a relationship with you, because Jesus, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And so that is why we turn to the one true God who sets us free from the bondage of sin, sets us free from the bondage of the world, sets us free from the devil, and makes us the light of the world. And light is so powerful because darkness cannot stand the light. Darkness flees from the light. When you turn on the light, does darkness linger? No, it flees. It doesn't stay and say, hey, I'm hanging out here. No. It is completely eradicated, eliminated when light shines bright. And so you are the light of the world. And Jesus, He's the ultimate light. And He's the ultimate source that empowers you, that fires you up, that grows you, that allows you to light up and stay lit. Lit so bright that darkness flees from you, that the devil flees from you. When you call upon the name of Jesus, the demons flee from you, and you're able to overcome those sin, those addiction, those darkness, and overcome just as Christ has overcome, because He lives in you, and He made you a new creation, and the old is gone, and the new has come. And that's why it's so important that we turn to the one true God, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Amen. And so, He made us the salt of the earth so that we may preserve the earth. Salt preserves food like meat so that it won't rot and spoil so quickly. Eventually, it's going to die. Eventually, it's going to be destroyed. But it preserves. And we as Christians, we preserve the earth. Without Christians, without followers of Christ, then the earth would be in shambles, in worse place than now. But we need more Jesus and bring Jesus back into our life, into your life, into your family. Because Jesus is the glue and He holds all things together. Because Jesus is the one that unites and does not divide. He's the one that brings us towards a life of righteous living, of holiness, of sanctification, a life that loves and not hates, walks in His ways and not the ways of the world. He sets us free. Amen. And so some reflection is here. We have one, two reflections. The first one is wanted. Godly men and women. It's so important. The prophet Elisha, he was a godly man. And he appears once again after a long absence of his narrative. It's been around 30 years. And he's now dying of an unknown illness. And then the king, Jehoash of Israel, pays him a visit. And the purpose of that visit involves more than just paying his respect to the prophet, however. The phrase, the chariot and the horsemen of Israel, Elisha's own word as his mentor, Elijah, was carried away in a heaven's fiery chariot, taken up to heaven, is generally understood to express that Elisha's anointing and ministry as God's prophet are a true strength of the nation. And men and women of God, each one of you guys, are vital to the health of your communities and to your nation and to the world. And that's why you are the light of the world. That means you are the salt of the earth. Christ has called you the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so when you live out your faith in Christ, it is inevitably making a difference to those around you. In your family, when you have Jesus in your family, it keeps the family together. Without Jesus, man, we can see how families are falling into shambles, how divided it is, how broken the families are, how so many children are fatherless or motherless or without both parents. And that's because they are missing Jesus. And so we need Jesus back into our education so that he would be a foundational keystone or cornerstone in our life and the life of those around us and the life of our children, so that they may know who Jesus is and have a relationship with Jesus, and not just a religion, not just walking blindly towards the world and the worldly ways. Instead, to walk in a godly life, which will bless so many people around us, and you and I. And so we pray that godly men would raise up, and women would raise up in our political government, in our state, in our schools, in our cities, in our country, that we would be one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. And that justice and liberty, that true freedom, is only found in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. It's only found in our Lord, who saves us and who brings us into and towards the promised land, into his presence. Amen. It's wanted. Godly men and women are wanted, are needed. Each one of you guys are an important part of society. You have meaning, you have purpose, you have a mission, and that is to live for the one true God. Amen. And number two is an enduring legacy. Elisha's final prophecy consists in giving instructions to the king of Israel to shoot an arrow through a window, symbolizing God's victory over Syria, then strike the ground. But Jehoash lacks zeal in carrying out the prophet's instructions, and as the result, it was an incomplete victory. And so Jehoash's failure does not nullify God's word, however. He wins three battles against Syria, and likewise, God's power is still at work amongst you, his people, believers, even after Elisha has died. And as you see in the resurrection of the man's body who's touched Elisha's bones, this is an impactful symbol of God's power and the impact of the faithful servant ministry, which does not end with his or her death. God continues to bless others with the fruits of your services, of their services, after they are gone. And that is what true leadership is. True leadership is when the organization that you created or that you built continues even after you are gone. That means you train them really well to be able to carry on the mission that you have given to them, that God has given to you throughout that organization. And we give God all the glory, because it is God who carries on the blessings throughout generations to generation. But the devil is trying to create this generational curse that holds so many people down. But it's time to break those generational curses. Time to be set free. And that is by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so that you will be able to experience the power of God in your life, and that you would be able to walk in his righteousness, in his goodness, in his will, in his plans, and his thoughts, which are so much higher, so much better for than our own and our own desires, which is deceitful. And that's why we want to plant the seeds of the gospel in the Spirit of God, which brings eternal life. And eternal life is the true treasure that God has given us, because eternal life in his presence is something so glorious, so wonderful, so good, that I don't want any of you guys to miss out on. This is the good news that we share, that we spread. This is the good news that we share with each other. Amen. So, Cade, do share. I am willing to listen and to read what is going on in your life. But Glory to God, for He is in control, and He is our Lord, our Savior, who never lets us down. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Man, my hand got tired. But hey, let us live an enduring legacy, a legacy that is long-lasting in Christ. Let us live a life that is glorifying to Him and not walk in the ways of man. Amen. So looking at this passage in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, we can see out of respect, the aged man of God now lying upon his deathbed, King Joash paid him a visit. And then the prophet had stood staunchly for the Lord during the days of terrible apostasy, where people were worshiping false idols, worshiping false gods, worshiping the objects and not the giver, not the giver of life, not the one that rescued them from Egypt, from the bondage of slavery. And as soon as the king entered Elisha's room, he knew that the prophet was at the point of death, and Joash, weeping, finally acknowledged that Elisha had been Israel's one true defense against the enemies invading the land. And by this confession, the king was actually demonstrating some faith in the Lord and his prophet, addressing Elisha as the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Simply meant that Elisha was Israel's true protector. God was Israel's true protector, and the nation's true defense and protection were in prayer of Elisha and in the Lord who answers his prayer. And throughout his life, Elisha had been one true strength for the nation, one true defender, one true leader and protector against the enemies. And note that the chariots and horsemen of Israel was the same title Elisha himself has given to Elijah at the prophet his ascension to heaven earlier years. And so, because Jehoash has expressed some faith in the Lord, Elisha sought to arouse a complete faith within the king. For if he had caused arouse a complete faith within Jehoash, the king could launch a reform throughout the nation, turning the people back to God. Thus, laying upon his deathbed, Elisha gave the king this one last prediction of a wonderful promise, a symbolic picture of Israel coming to victory over Syria, defeating them, the enemies, and instructing the king to take a bow and arrows in his hand. And he placed his hand on the king's hand and told him to open the east window and shoot that arrow as far as he could. And as the king shot the arrow, the dying prophet shouted out that the arrow symbolizes God's victory, the Lord's victory over Syria, over the enemy. And Israel would defeat the Syrians at the Battle of Aphek. But the promise was not the only message that Elisha used to arouse complete faith within the king. Elisha gave the king an opportunity to completely destroy Syria. And this he did by instructing the king to continue shooting arrows. But note what happened. Jehoash shot only 3 times and he stopped. And becoming angry, the prophet Elisha would strongly rebuke the king that he should have completed the task, shooting all the arrows in his possessions. If he had done so, he would have completely destroyed the Syrians. God would have destroyed the Syrians completely. But now he would only defeat them 3 times, the number of times that he shot the arrows, which was 3 times. So in contrast, in a strong character of the dying prophet of Elisha, the godly man of iron determination and perseverance, the king has failed to preserve to the very end. Full complete faith was simply not in the heart of the king. For too long, he lived in unbelief and wickedness, and with little faith arose in his heart, was not enough to continue following the instruction of God's messenger and the prophet Elisha. And consequently, although he would be blessed with a few victories over Syria, he would also suffer opposition from the enemy later on. And having completed this task upon the earth, the great prophet Elisha died, and scripture simply says that he was buried. And Russell Dilday has an excellent statement on the death of Elisha that is well worth quoting here. And so let's look at it. Here, Elisha is an old man, sick and the point of death, unlikely to be flamboyant Elijah. Unlike the flamboyant Elijah, whose life ended in a dramatic whirlwind exit of a fiery chariot, Elisha died of a wasting illness. But God was just as near to him as he passed through the shadows of the valley of death, as he had been to Elijah, as he passed through the skies of the fiery chariot. And although Elisha died, his ministry was not finished, for God used even his dead body to symbolize the coming resurrection of the dead by the power of God. And a spectacular miracle took place. Some Israelites were burying a man when a band of Moabite raiders suddenly attacked. Being forced to flee for their lives, the burial party quickly flew that dead body into an available tomb, which was Elisha's. And when the lifeless body touched Elijah's body, bones, that dead man was immediately revived and stood on his feet. And in the words of this commentary, it was a sign of Joash in Israel that God was the God of the living and not of the dead. Not only for Elisha and the men who were restored to life, for Israel as well. And Israel could yet live if she would but appropriate the eternally living God as her own. So pretty much it's saying, if you make a relationship, one with God, relationship right with Jesus, then you will be set free. Then you will be able to experience the promise of God, the protection of God, the provision of God. And you may be able to experience more and more of God in your life. And experience a life that is able to understand exactly what God is saying. So just as Elisha has prophesied, Syria continued to oppress the northern kingdom during the reign of Jehoahaz. And in love and compassion, God continued to discipline the nation. But God did not allow the Syrians to utterly destroy the northern kingdom. For God still had hope that the people would turn back to him, and he wanted to give them every possible opportunity until the hearts became hardened, so hardened that he knew that they would never again repent. And because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God was not just willing to cast them off, not willing to banish them from his presence, not yet. And note that the prophecy of Elisha was fulfilled exactly as he predicted. And the king of Syria soon died, and his son Ben-Hadad succeeded him as king. And during Ben-Hadad's reign, King Jehoash was able to recapture 25 Israelite cities from the Syrians in fulfillment of the prophecy. And he defeated the Syrians 3 times and recovered the 25 cities. Wow, we can learn so much here. Thought number 1. In contrast of the weak character of Jehoash, Elisha demonstrated a character of iron determination in following God, in living a righteous life, a life of sanctification, a holy life, preserving to the very end. He was saved and given his eternal reward by the power of God. And so it is with you as well. If you have a strong iron determination, a strong character in God, in Christ, in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and live a righteous life, then you will preserve to the very end, and God's power will work in your life. And when facing death, God will save you from the experience of death itself, transferring you directly into his presence in heaven to live with him eternally. And then you will never taste death. You will never suffer any of the torment of hell. Quicker than I can blink, you will be transferred from life, from right into the perfection, into this life, into the perfection, glory, and joy of heaven itself. You see, death is not the end. This physical death is not the end. It is actually the beginning of eternal life, the beginning of eternal presence and glory and perfection and joy of God, where there's no more suffering, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sin. And what the place that we need, each and every one, we need to know about that promised land, the promise of God. And in obedience, we will walk with Him in our life. Commitment to Him each and every day. Not just once a day thing, but an everyday thing where we turn to our Lord, our Savior, our God, who is patient with us and who created each one of us to have a relationship with Him. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to defeat the sin, the barrier, the wall that was holding us back from Him, that we could not defeat. He defeated it on that cross. He took the keys from the devil, from the hell. And now He is in control. And He's always been in control. And so, let us have a strong determination in trusting Jesus, preserving to the very end. And know this fact, that you must believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Commit your life to His righteousness, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will add all things unto you. And simply stated, you must believe Christ and live for Him. You must profess to believe and follow the Lord in what He says. You must study the Word of God for yourself. Because when you study the Word of God for yourself, then you become a self-educator. And being a self-educator, that brings a fortune into your life, brings you more than you can ever ask for, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can imagine, what you can think and ask for. So, another way to say the same thing is that once you profess Christ and confess Him as your Lord and Savior and commit to Him, you must continue to profess and follow after Him. You cannot just say, I believe in Him, and then forget about Him for the next year. Jesus is not just a pocket Jesus. You take Him out whenever crisis happens. Jesus is something that you must have every day. A relationship. It takes every day. Continual talking. Communication. Which is key. That you know your partner. Know the other person. And that partner is Jesus Christ Himself. That you must spend time with Him. Talk with Him. Build His community. Build His kingdom. Do as He says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And continuing on is the evidence of your faith in Christ. And when people see you continuing to follow Christ, they will know that your profession in Christ is true. On the other hand, if you profess to be followers of the Lord and refuse to live as He says, people will say, you're fake. You're making a false profession. They know that you're hypocrites. But continuing on, being steadfast, enduring, persevering, in following Christ, this is the way. And this assures your salvation. And this is your profession that is true. And that means when you say, listen, well, to the word of the Lord, which talks about perseverance and steadfastness, which allows us to be encouraged and know that this is the will of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, it says, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but you shall endure to the very end and be saved. Those who endure to the very end will be saved. Saved from what? Eternal separation from God. Saved from the death that we deserve. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And that death is not just a physical death, but that death is an eternal death. It's the death of the spirit, which is eternal separation from God. We will not endure. we will not enter into the lake of fire. When we endure for Christ and follow Him, when we are persecuted, that is expected. You're going to feel rejection. That's not something that you should be surprised. But then, through those trials, tribulations, through those challenges, as you overcome in the name of Jesus, you write a story that is so good, so powerful. A story that is glorifying to the one true God. A story where God is revealed in your story so that it would bring Him glory. God is not going to leave you in this terrible situation. He's going to bring you out of the darkness. Those things, those circumstances are temporary. But God is eternal. He's the stability and He's the security that we long for. And He's able to bring you out of that darkness. He's able to take you out of your addictions, of wasting your time. He's able to set you free. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. So abide in my love. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Draw close to me, and I will draw close to you." So, come closer to Jesus. Give Him a try. Come closer to through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through building your life upon His firm foundation, through going to church and building His community, being part of His community. Amen. Just as the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus loves you. You are loved. And just as Jesus loves you, I love you too. Pastor Pan loves you too. So abide in my love. Abide in my love. Amen. And therefore, my beloved brethren, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, your labor will add to you, will give you so much more that you can ever imagine. Your labor is not wasted because God will anoint your work and will bless you, will multiply you. And this is what we declare over each one of you guys. God's blessings, God's protection, God's provision, His promises are over you. And so when you live in Christ, because Christ is victory, Christ is breakthrough, Christ is the way, the truth, the life, Christ is glory. When you live in Him, you are a new creation. The old is gone. And so when you live every season, you're living every season for Jesus. And you go from Jesus to Jesus. You don't go from Jesus to the devil, Jesus to the world, Jesus to the universe, Jesus to yourself. No, you go from Jesus to Jesus. And with that, you're able to go from victory to victory, glory to glory, strength to strength. You're able to experience His divine love and His divine joy. Amen. And so we praise the Lord, for He is good and He loves each one of us. Amen. You wanting to talk? Are you a little hot? Amen. So glory to God, for we are steadfast. We are unmovable. We are abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that we toil not in vain, but we toil with purpose, with meaning in life. A lot of people are following the ways of the world, and they're following it, and they chase it, and they find at the end, it's just a dead end. It's just a void. It's just so empty. It's not satisfying. You may get $1 billion, but what good is it that you get the whole world and lose your soul? What good is it that you conquer everything and you're in charge and you're in power, but you lose your own soul? No good. Your soul is more important than the things of the world. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And God is eternal. Your faith in Him is eternal. And He will reward you with heavenly rewards where rust, moth won't destroy, where thief can't steal. But the treasures on earth, man, it could be stolen. Everything that you see in front of you,
all the clothes, all the computers, all the technology, all the business, all of those things, one day will be destroyed by fire. It's all temporary. All the money, the inflation, you see, those things are being destroyed slowly in front of our own eyes. We know that it is ultimately worthless. Like a $100 bill one day will just be worth a toilet paper. You put value in it. You can buy things right now, but one day it's just going to be a toilet paper. It's just a paper. It's just false promises. And you'll see in the future how they're going to flip the script, how they will no longer be using the dollar, but instead they will use a new currency. And I believe that it's going to be a global currency. One currency, one military, one government. And that is ultimately what's going to happen because the Bible says so. But then we're just living this part out. Every step of the way, we're not worried because we know that God is in control and He is victorious in the very end. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." A lot of people are subject to the yoke, to the chains of slavery, of sin, of the world. But God says, it was because of freedom that He set you free. He set you free from that sin. He set you free from the punishment of sin. He set you free so that you don't have to live a life in regret, in shame. And you can live a life of freedom, knowing that He has forgiven you. That you are forgiven. You are set free. You are made new. You are going to experience His breakthrough, His glory, His strength, His eternal, everlasting peace and joy. You are to experience His agape, unconditional love. Amen. So be steadfast in the liberty where Christ has made to set you free. Do not be again come into the bondage of sin, bondage of the world. Stand firm. Stand firm. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not be weary in doing well, in doing good, doing God's will. For in due season you will reap if you do not faint, if you do not grow weary. You will reap glory of God. You will reap the presence of God. You will reap eternal glory, eternal hope, eternal life in Christ, which is beyond what we can ever imagine. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sin, where we're able to just be in a community and worship God together. That is the picture of heaven. So good. Glory to God. And so let us continue doing what is good in the eyes of God and worshiping God. For God, He is the way. He made a way for us when there was no way. Jesus made a way for us when there was no way. He's given us eternal life. He's the truth. And that truth will set us free. That truth will set us free from the bondage of sin. Amen. So let us not be weary in doing good. So in due season, we will reap what we sow. And we must sow into the Spirit of God. And that will reap eternal life. But if you sow into your flesh, then that will reap corruption, ruin, destruction. So don't sow into your flesh. Don't keep feeding your flesh. You gotta feed your spirit, and your spirit will grow stronger, closer to God, and you will see your life transform. And then when your spirit grows so big into a tree, like a seed grows into a tree, it will start bearing fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That fruit is something the world tries to offer. But the world can only offer what is temporary. But God can offer what is eternal, what is everlasting, what is good. The love that the world cannot offer, the joy, the peace, everlasting peace that the world cannot offer. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, let your conversation, conduct, behavior, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're hearing the word of God together. We're being of one mind, one spirit, one soul together. We're connecting in ways that you cannot imagine. And so we praise God for the ability to connect, to have this one mind and be unified, because Christ is the ultimate one that unifies us together. It is not the world that unifies. The devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy, tries to divide, tries to make us alone and isolated. But God brings us into fellowship, into His goodness, into His love, into His joy. He brings us into somewhere that's so much better. And so that we may look into the promises of God and into His glory. Amen. Amen. Glory to God, for He is good. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since you have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding you, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we see the compassion with a great cloud of witness. So let us lay aside every weight, every sin that brings us down, that besets us. And so let's run with the patience and the race that is set before us in Christ. Amen. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be sober-minded. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, we must prepare our mind for action. And that's why your mind is so powerful. Your mind is so important. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our might. We're to love Him with all that we are, and to prepare our minds for action. And so this verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And so we need to look into this. We need to take action. What's your destiny? Your destiny starts with your mind. Your mind impacts the words you speak. The words you speak impacts your action. Your action impacts your habits. Your habits impacts your character. Your character impacts your destiny. And that's why you must start your destiny with your mind, with Christ in your mind, with the revelation and the promise of Jesus Christ in mind. Amen. Oh, you're singing? Okay. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, be sober in spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You see, God is warning you. The devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, trying to pounce on you like a roaring lion. But God says to resist him. Say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Be firm in your faith. Do not be shaken. Do not waver. Do not move somewhere else, but instead, walk in the ways of God. Walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk in the ways of His promises. And grow in Him. Amen. You want to start learning to talk? You want to start talking?
Yeah? That's great.
This baby is 4 weeks old, so he is just learning. And he's learning to preach as well. Amen. Man. I bet you're using the bathroom, huh? Baby's using the bathroom. But yeah. Glory to God. Woo! He's good. He's good. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you will not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow, be built up, be growing. Growing never stops. Continue to grow in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be to him be the glory forever and ever, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Wow. God has commanded us something great. He commanded us to walk in his righteousness, to be on guard, to grow. And that's why I emphasize growing so much in my own life. As long as I'm growing, I know that I'm able to lead you in growing as well. And that's why so many of you guys are here, growing. You are here to be built up. You're here to grow in Christ, and not in your own ways, but in God's way. And so we're here to glorify him in all that we do, to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, so that he can experience, so that he can receive all glory that he deserves. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die on the cross. He gave up his glory, his divinity, his power, and left it in heaven, and came down to earth, and to live a life of holiness, of righteousness, a perfect life that has no sin, a perfect life that we could not live. And then he died as a criminal. Even though he did nothing wrong, he was accused as a criminal. And then he was whipped on the back, 39 lashes of stones and glass, whipped by buff, strong soldiers, being whipped with his pores, his skin being ripped apart. After 5 lashes, I would be on the ground, I would be dead. But Jesus, he endured it to the very end. And then he took the cross and carried that cross. That was the weight of a refrigerator, so heavy, 200 pounds, tree, and carried it up the Mount of Skull to crucifixion. And he was crucified on that cross with nails through his hand, nails through his feet. And I don't think it's sanitary at all. And he hung on the cross, desperate, breathing. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Forgive them. And so he forgave you. 6 hours he hung there. And then at the end, he took his last breath. And he says, it is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. His job is done. The prophecy of the Lord has been fulfilled. And I have defeated sin. But he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead after 3 days. His resurrection power, showing his breakthrough over death, over sin, over your circumstance, over all things. Showing his power, same power that he gave to you and me, same power that Holy Spirit is now available for you, a gift for you. Amen. His amazing love is for you. And you have to accept him. Accept the Holy Spirit. Accept Jesus into your life. Commit to him, walking with him. It cannot just be once a week thing, Sunday thing. It has to be an everyday thing. Daily devotion, daily walk with God. Amen. Amen.
And then we have three more. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one will take your crown." Wow. This is John writing in Revelations, and he's telling you, "Behold, Christ is coming. He's returning. Be eager. Look forward to his return. Hold fast to him. Don't be shaken. Don't waver. Because the devil's going to try to shake you, trying to blow you around. But when you are firmly planted, grounded, anchored upon the truth of God, you will not be shaken. I will not be shaken, because I am living in Christ, in his power, in his goodness, in his mercy. I am living in him, and I am set free in the name of Jesus. And no longer does the devil have a hold on me. No longer does the world and addiction have a hold on me. For I am free, and free in Christ indeed. I have life in him." All glory to God. He's coming. So we must spread the word. And he's coming quickly. So we must spread the word quickly. Save more souls. Planting the seeds of the gospel. And allowing others to say yes to Jesus forever. So that they may also have a crown. The crown, the promise of God. You will be crowned. Isn't that great? You will have more power than ever before. Amen. Josiah chapter 23 verse 8 says, "But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day." In Job chapter 17 verse 9, "And the righteous should hold on his ways, and he has clean hands and shall be stronger and stronger. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold on to his way in Christ, and he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. What does not kill you makes you stronger, especially when you're walking in the ways of God. When you overcome the circumstances, the temptations, the trials, you're going to have a story that's going to be able to help other people and encourage them and be like, wow, your story is powerful. Your story, the struggles that you went through, unbelievable. I would not have imagined at all that you went through this. But by God's grace, he set you free. And by God's grace, you are a new creation. By God's grace, you are no longer held down by the world." So this is what true freedom is. That freedom is the eternal perspective of eternity in Christ, in his presence, in heaven, instead of being separated from him, which is pain, corruption, torment, which is meant for the devil, hell, for the demons who rebel against God. Do not be part of that group, because that part of the group will lead you astray, lead you towards a place where it is terrible. And so accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray with me. "Dear Lord, I am broken without you. I'm lost without you. I'm in darkness, and I need a Savior to rescue me from that. I need a Savior to set me free. And Jesus, you are that Savior. You are the Savior who died on the cross, who raised from the dead, who paid for my sin and has forgiven me. So Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins, of my wrongdoings, of my transgressions. Thank you for giving me another chance so that I may live in you in Christ and live a life that is so close to you that it is a life of meaning and purpose, and knowing that my security, my life is secured in you. Lord, I commit my life to you, to reading your word every day, to listening to your word every day, to praying to you every day, having a conversation with you where I am before eating, as I'm living life, just be prayerful, be a prayer warrior, and then also building your community of prayer, a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer. So Lord, we thank you. And so Lord, we thank you for this passage of seeing Elijah, who is faithful to you to the very end, seeing the power of God work through him as he prophesies the truth and victory of the Lord. Because of that little faith, that king is able to see victory, three victory, and victory over in a path And he was able to see victory that God provides. And so may we see victory in you as we have strong faith that you are the God of breakthrough, of victory, the God who sets us free. And Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name over everyone here under the sound of my voice that you bring them abundant blessings, protection, provision, that you give each one of them wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment to navigate through the difficulties of life, and also to give thanks to you always, rejoice always, and to pray continually in the name of Jesus, because this is all God's will for us in Christ. We do this in all circumstances because you are the good God. You set us free. We love you, God, because you first loved us. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wow, he is so good, so wonderful. And he's the God that we serve. And we will never, ever be turning to the ways of the world. Glory to God. Yeah, I thank you all for joining. I thank you all for being part of this. And I thank you all for being a part of this ministry. And right now we have 55 people here on TikTok. Wow. And we have on YouTube, we have 52 people. And on like, we have 159 people, which I think a bunch of them are bots, but not all of them, but some of them. So glory to God that he is good. Amen. I am Brandy. Hello. Welcome. Amen. God bless you. Russell. Amen. God bless you. Yes, we need this so much on our FYP. Amen. Hello. I hear and see Jesus in your words. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. It says, Crazy Cat Lady. God bless you. Mina, God bless you. Amen. He is so good. God is so good. And that's why we're here. Hello, Kelly. God bless you. Amen. Yeah, right now it's a time of blessing. I'm acknowledging you guys, knowing that God is working in your life. And God has great plans and promises for you. And so be encouraged, for he is good. I'm going to see who's here as well, who's online. It says, that's exactly why I came. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Fire and Crystal Fortunes. And Fire said, I sprained my ankle and you made me feel blessed. Amen. You know, God's going to heal you. Your circumstance is temporary. That sprained ankle is temporary. Your body that God created is powerful, is alive, and God is able to heal you because he is the great physician. And Kelly, thanks for the follow. Thanks for the sub. Thanks for the like. It really helps the channel. And we are here to glorify God on a mission to build our community in him. Amen. Dave Moff, hello, welcome. Amen. God bless you. Christian Wolf, 154. Amen. God bless you. Chick Ketter Hessing. Amen. God bless you. The baby is so cute. Zaki Skills. Amen. God bless you. He is 4 weeks old right now, and his birthday is, first month birthday is on July 22nd. He was born on June 22nd, so he's grown so much. He's the best pastor, praise God. All glory to God. Mighty Meows, Meek Mighty Meows says, Amen, Amen. God is so good. You're welcome. I'm so glad you're here, and thank you for being here. Without you guys here, I would be just talking to the wind, to the air. But, you know, even when there's no one here, I'm still willing to talk to dry bones. Yeah. Aris Nian, hello, good to see you again. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teachings. I wish I could hear more. We have our recordings each and every day on YouTube, on the live stream, on the live. And so you can always listen in, and there's also podcasts too. And I'm trying to get into the audio podcast, which I've been kind of putting off, but we're going to try to get on all the audio podcasts, 10 platforms. We're going to try to get on there. We're right now, yeah, on many platforms, so glory to God. What Alicia said, what is his name, Pastor? His name is Noah Pan. And so, yeah, hello, Michelle. Says, hello, brother. God bless you. Brenda Castro, you are a blessing. Well, you too are a blessing too. We give all glory to God. God still speaks, amen. Beautiful. Shalom. Good to see you. Yeah. Alejandro. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Yeah, God is so good. And He is working. Amen. We want to bring revival here in the Bay Area, in California, and beyond. So we praise God that He is with you in Tanzania. Glory to God. Hey, glory to God. And Ezekiel Vaillard, welcome. God bless you. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go into our application questions, because the application questions are times when we can just speak about and reflect on our own life. And so let's see. It's been an hour and 10 minutes, and we're going to continue. What are some ways that makes that believers make a community better and stronger? Number one, I would say be present. Just showing up and be continually present. Don't just show up once a month or once every twice a year like Easter and Christmas. No, we must show up at least every week. But here, this community is growing stronger by the grace of God because we're showing up every day. You're here for a reason. You're here to grow, and you're here to experience more of God. Amen? And so, we must start by showing up. Then we must humble ourselves and then pray to God and learn about Him. And the best way to learn about Him is to self-educate. Be self-educated, because I can only teach you so much. I can only feed you a fish, and the next day, you're hungry again. But if I teach you to fish, to grow by yourself, then you're able to not be hungry for a lifetime. Because Jesus, He's the bread of life. Jesus, He's the living water. He's the river that flows within you, that overflows you. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And so it's important that each one of us learn to educate ourselves and have a habit of going to God in prayer and in the Word each and every day. Amen. Praise God. So building community, being conversational, having hospitality, these are all different ways. So each one of you guys make the community better and stronger. So we praise God for that. You guys are not here on accident. You guys are here for a purpose, to glorify the one true God. Amen. Hello, Gandhi. Hello, Mina. Number two out of four. Can you think of examples from other passage of the Bible? Well, when we're in one mind, one spirit, then we're unified. And when we're unified, then we'll have less arguments. We'll have better conversations. Conversations that worship the Lord. Conversations that lead people towards Him and closer to Him. Conversations that bless other people. You see, the Abrahamic blessing or promise, covenant, is a blesser's blessing. We're here to bless other people. Here to give you good things. And now the Word of God is the best thing that I can give to you guys. That gift of eternal life that I spread to you guys is the best gift that Jesus gave to you. And so now I'm just a messenger, just an ambassador of God, calling upon you to turn to Him, to repent, to experience Him, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, MJ. Soav. Amen. Monique Weathers. Thanks for the follow. Yeah. Whew. Yeah, God is good. From the Bible, we can see in Acts how there were believers who actually sold their possessions and gave it to the poor and needy to spread the Word of God. And we can see how the community of God, with people of all diverse ethnicities, of ages, came together and blessed each other and was in one accord. Jesus is the one that brings us together. Nariah, hello. Praise God. Amen, Natalie. So there's many countless examples.
And even in my life, I can see how God is the one that brings us together. Is your hand down there? Your hand okay? Okay, it's okay. Number three, what are some ways God's servants have impacted your life even after their passing? Well, I'm right now 34 years old. A lot of people think I'm in my 20s, but in my life, I have mentors like Dr. Rick Durst, Dr. Gainey, Dr. Miles Monroe. Even after he passed away, I was listening to his stuff, his videos, and it allowed me to grow in Christ so radically. Taught me how to be a man, what a man is like, what a true man is like, a mighty man of God. And he looked into Genesis, and he called Adam to keep and protect the garden, to cultivate it, and to grow it, to name it. And he also called him to teach. And so, as a man, we're here to protect, provide, and teach. Teach the Word of God. Teach about His instructions, and to keep it. And that is one impact of a man who passed away, who still has a lasting impact in my life. And I pray that what I do also has a lasting impact in your life as well, that you will be blessed and you will be able to experience Him so radically, so good in your life. And so that's one testimony of how God has used other people in order to impact my life. I would not be able to do it myself, but by the grace of God, I've been able to be given a life that is impacted by other people, by God Himself, by Jesus Himself, who passed away 2,000 years ago, and He still has an eternal impact on my own life. Amen. Number four, what kind of lasting impact would you like your service to God to have? Same, like I said, I want you guys to be blessed. I want you guys to experience His promises, His glory. I want you guys to have an everlasting life in Christ, not an everlasting separation from Him. Right, AI? Al? Glory to God. So praise the Lord. Let's pray this out, for He is good. He is pooping right now. Yeah. Amen. So, a letter to God. Lord God, may the legacy I leave after my life here on earth is over one that impacts the life of those who come after me. To the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. May it be one to glorify you to the very end. All glory to God. This is what it's like to take care of the baby. You don't know when he's going to cry, but I want this baby to be able to have everlasting, eternal impact on his own generation. Generation Z, Generation Alpha, Generation Beta, Gamma. Anyways, the generation to come. And so here we are, creating a legacy. This legacy is not for ourselves, but for God. And that's why we're not to create our legacy. One day, everything on earth will fade away. But what is in heaven, you will be in heaven, will not fade away. And so I do look forward to seeing you in heaven as well. You in a better place. You in the eternal glory of God. You in the presence of God. Amen. It is a cute hand. Good baby. And so we're not here to create our own legacy. We're here to carry on the legacy of Jesus. Carry on His mission, His promise, and carry it on for the long run. This is a marathon. I'm just a stepping stone, a piece of sharing His gospel and doing His will. Hello, Dwayne. Welcome. So yeah, I know it's been a great session. May God bless you and be with you, and may He continue glorifying
being glorified, honored in your life. I thank you all for tuning in, for joining me on this daily live session, and thank you for being part of this journey as we are almost to 1 million subscribers on YouTube. It's just a matter of time in August, probably, or maybe earlier, but all glory to God, and may He receive all praise as we continue making Jesus content, having Jesus time, and keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So peace be unto you, and may He continue blessing you, protecting you, providing for you, giving you wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, so that you may be able to grow stronger in Christ each and every day. And this has been so wonderful. I'm grateful for the opportunity to hear the word. Thank you, Pastor Josh. Thank you, Meek. Meek mighty meows. I'm so glad that you guys are part of this live stream, part of this community. We're just going to try to do this for the long haul, for the long run, so that you may continue to experience Him. Remember, Pastor Pan loves you, and Jesus loves you even more. And we are here to build people up. And so, by the grace of God, maybe one day, we can all meet. We will all meet in heaven. And we will all meet. But then, I have a mission. Not only to conquer the online space, but also the Bay Area. This is my region. This is my mission field. This is my game. This area, the most unreached, unchurched region of the United States of America. 90% unchurched, unreached people. We must have this as a mission field. So glory to God. And so praise the Lord. Do I know Mr. Beast? I don't know Mr. Beast personally, but I know about him. Enjoy the entertainment. But then Mr. Beast used to be a Christian. He used to have John 3:16 on his page. But now he took it off. So I don't know. But Chandler, one of his co-workers, is now, I believe, doing daily word of the day, spreading the word on TikTok. And so he's spreading the word. I'm so proud of him being a light to this world. And he has more influence than me. But hey, glory to God that people are willing to listen to Chandler, even though he's just like, but hey, is he still reading the word of God? And the word of God is alive and powerful, and it's great. So each one of you guys have that potential to be able to do just amazing things for God, exceedingly above what you can imagine, above what you can ask for. Amen. So we turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. It's Auntie said, Mr. Beast turned from the Lord. Well, we pray that he will turn back, because money will not satisfy. He's going to run into a dead end one day. And it's only ruin and destruction. But you see, money is a tool for us. It doesn't have to be bad. But if we chase money and put money above God, that becomes a problem. Amen. Dwayne? Yeah, I pray for people in California, for your family through the hard times, right now in our country. Yes, we're praying for Trump. We're praying for political we're able to bring Jesus back. But then you can do your part in bringing Jesus back first into your life. Into your life. Bring Jesus back into your family, into your community, into your school, into your city, into your nation, into your state, into your world, into the world. We're here, the salt, the light of the world. So you have a part to play, and an important part to play. Glory to God. And we're here, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice and liberty for all. One nation under God, one world under the one true God. Indivisible. We cannot be divided. We are here united in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello, Pringle. Hello. Welcome. So yeah, may God bless you, be with you. And I will catch you guys later. I have a big project I have to work on.
and that project is going from consumer to producer. And so I need to do something. You have something to say? Amen? Amen? Amen, right? Glory to God. Do I have Cash App? It's Pastor Josh Pan. The same username as this. Or Venmo. Glory to God. You can hear the baby. This is what it sounds like. But you're so good. You okay? Hmm? Hey, yeah. So, with that, Noah, speak. Amen. Yeah, some people ask me what his first word is, and he hasn't spoken, but if it was anything, it would be amen. Because whenever I say amen, he's like, amen. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you for sowing into the word. Yeah, without space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you so much. And glory to God. May God bless you again. Panda out for now. I love you guys. Mm-hmm.